You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
You've been very patient with me. We've been in this since the January 7th, the first Sunday, and I've really enjoyed, personally for me, studying this book and gaining insight into my own personal life. And today we're in chapter 3 and verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. The Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with him in glory." There are three tenses, grammatical tenses. You saw them here. There's the past, the present, and the future. The first is past, "if ye then be risen with Christ." And then we find the present. If that's the case in the past, well then presently, "seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth." That's in the present. But look at the future. "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory." Our Christian faith always reveals itself in how we live. What you believe, what I believe, is revealed how we behave. And I want us to carry that thought with us this week. What I believe, it's always revealed. I have a prayer journal and it's very extensive and I work with it and use it. And I don't want to portray that I'm this greatest prayer warrior. In fact, I was called upon to preach this week at a church about prayer. And I thought of all subjects, because I can preach on a lot of different subjects and they're relatively easy. And I don't mean that disrespectful to God's word, but building our soul winning, our family, our home, our work ethic, or serving God. But when they asked me to preach on prayer, I immediately went to prayer and said, "God, of all things, because without me, you can do nothing." And I don't think there's a person here that believes they pray enough. But my job, I have been hired by the church, Acts 6:4, to give myself continually to the Word of God and prayer. And so when I say I have a prayer journal, and it is extensive, and most of your names are on there for some reason or another, positive. All you that own businesses, your name is there. All of you that have physical needs, your needs are there. Your request is there. Some are praying for special needs in their home, and I try to include them. I have the missionaries, and I have the deacons, and I have the ushers, and I have the Sunday school teachers, and the bus workers, and I have the staff, and I have people that have great needs in their life. And I'm not saying I'm perfect at it. I can't get through it all in the morning time. It's too extensive. But one page I have, and it just breaks my heart, and you know, because I've said in the past, is my backslidden page. As a pastor, it hurts me immensely to pray for someone who's away from God. And I feel like I have that duty. Some have not been back to church in years. I still feel like I have that duty. It's hard for me. It's very difficult for me to cross a name off. They've moved to another shepherd. I generally cross their name off because they have a new shepherd. But they were backslidden. It's hard for me to go through a line when someone passes away in our church and put a line through their name. In fact, my dad's been dead for years now. I can't take his phone off my phone. He doesn't have that phone anymore, but I just can't remove it. Brother Bobby Robertson, I can't remove his cell phone. And somebody has it because someone called me about a year or so ago and said, "Bobby Robertson." I thought, boy, is this from heaven or where's this coming from, you know? Scared me a little bit, quite frankly, to death. But I just can't remove it. We have members of our church that passed away. I can't remove their phone. And I probably should. It's difficult. But I have a backslidden list to pray for. It hurts me. I've never told you this one. I have a list of those that claim to know Christ, and I don't believe there's any salvation in their life at all. I think of a family that the mom and dad and the kids, I just honestly don't believe there's any evidence of salvation. And I'm going to give an account to God. Hebrews tells me I'm going to give an account to God for this church. Pastors all over America are watching right now, I'm sure, around the country. They could say a lot of times people that leave the church, some aren't leaving. They're really good Christians. I'm not saying if you don't stay here, some are very great Christians. Many go in the ministry. Others serving God in churches. And I go across the country. I have former members in churches. Years ago, I went to Dallas on a Monday night to preach. And there were 13 families, not all in the same church. They stood in line waiting and stood about an hour. And I finally got to them, all of our former members serving God in other churches. The next week, I went to Florida. And there were 13 families at WEC that stayed in line. The next week, I was in Chicago. And 13 families. And you know, many, just because they leave us, doesn't mean they're not saved or they're backslidden. But churches all over America, a lot of folks leave because they blame this. But the truth is they have no knowledge of God. You know, when people are hateful and dissension and gossip and negativity and malicious and no works of righteousness, that's not Bible. If any man be in Christ, he's new, a new creation. And Paul is dealing with this church that got so mixed up in God's, the little g, with the Almighty God. You know, I look at that list that I believe are, and I want Brother Panera, he knows if I die, first thing he does, he has to shred my prayer journal. I don't want anybody to ever see it. I don't want anybody to know what names are on there. But my Bible says in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. For they shall be called the children of God. There's evidence that you're saved. I've preached in churches, and I think of one lady came forward, and it was a preacher's wife, said, I need to get saved. Years ago. Well, that's a tough one. But lost. You know, let me labor for a minute. Are you saved? I mean, you honestly, have you been born again? Do you know that you Matt in our church, last Sunday he was here preparing the property, 44 years of age, and they found him passed away on Tuesday. No foul play. Rides that bike to church, you've seen him. 44 and gone. I'll tell you what, Matt got saved. You led him to Christ and baptized here. And even if he didn't get baptized, he's still on his way to heaven. But he's in heaven today. Why? Because somebody cared. Are you saved? You're going to have to come face to face. Every year in Bible college, we have young people that come around the world to Bible college here, and they trust Christ as Savior. That doesn't bother us. We're excited about it, Pastor, when that happens. Good night. If some child or adult comes to assurance of salvation, it doesn't discourage me at all. I want everyone to know that I know, that I know, that I know I'm saved. We have to plead with so many. Please come to Sunday school. Please come to church. Please read your Bible. That's not Bible. There's a new desire. And Paul is dealing with this in chapter 3. It's my message is a testimony of a true Christian. There is a testimony of a true Christian. And we see verse 1. If, that's a key word. If is a connecting word. It connects chapter 2 to chapter 3. Chapter 2, remember, was speaking about holy days, and it was speaking about rituals, and it was speaking about all these things that were taking place. And in chapter 1, He justified us. He reconciled us. He's forgiven us. He saved us. All those words that happened. And so he says, in combination, now you add all that up. If those things really happen, or since they happened, since those things happened, the Bible says, then be risen with Christ. You know, something happened. Go back to verse 14 of chapter 2. The latter part, we saw this a week or two ago. The Bible says the ordinances which are contrary to us, he took out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Verse 15, he spoiled principalities and powers and demonic powers, and he made a show of them. He triumphed over them. If that is what he did, verse 16, the holy days and things of that, and the new moon, and how people follow astrology. And if he conquered all that, if ye then be risen with Christ, the second thought is then seek. Since this happened, secondly, seek. Look what he says in verse number one. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek. Seek is what God's word showed us. He gave us that story of a lost coin. And he sought for the coin. A lost son, he sought for the coin, the son. And when we seek, it means to diligently search. I am the notorious one. These days, for some reason, I lose things. I'm waiting. All old people. Like me. I lose things. And I've told you this before. I was preaching somewhere else. Maybe I told Mom, I'm not sure. But it was somewhere this week. I'm at my desk. And the man built me this thing that I have my desk here. And then I've got this 11-foot angled piece of wood that I can put books up there. I'm studying. I have not left my desk. I'm at my desk. I'm there. I have my cell phone there. And I need to do something with my cell phone. And it disappears. Some demon came in my office while I was studying and picked it up and took it somewhere else. It happened again this week. I said, I am not leaving this desk because I've not left this room. It's in here somewhere. I'm really under all the papers and I'm pulling things out and moving the books and I'm getting frustrated, you know, trying to be spiritual, studying, praying. So I pick up the house phone and I call my phone and I hear it ringing. And that's a sight in itself right there. You know, it's an amazing thing how you'll search for something. And the Bible says, seek. I want you to earnestly, diligently seek. That's what the shepherds did. Yeah. In John and Luke 2, they came seeking Jesus. That's what Jesus did, Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what God told us in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Search for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what he's teaching us about prayer. He said in Matthew 7, ask, get the acrostic, A-S-K, ask and ye shall, what's the next word? Receive, seek, and ye shall. That's what happens when you seek. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh, receiveth. And he that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. If a father have a son, and he asks for a bread, will he give him a stone? Or if a father have a son, and he asks for a fish, will he give him a scorpion? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to them that ask? Ask him, seek him, God can give you what you want and say, well, I need $1 million. Why is it always materialism that we need? Why don't we ask him and seek for God? I'm seeking to be spiritual. I'm seeking to be godly. I'm seeking to know your will. I'm seeking to accept your will. God has a will. God has a desire. God has never made a mistake. And consequently, may we seek not to say, well, I'm seeking for healing. I'm seeking, well, you know what? God may have other plans for our life. Not as I will, but thy will be done. And so he says, I want you to seek. Here's Jesus, and that sounds disrespectful. Here's our Lord. And Jesus died and was put in a grave. And upon the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher. Mary Magdalene and Mary, Matthew 28, verse 1. And they saw the stone as rolled away, and the angel sat there. And they said, he said, whom seek ye? That key word, seek ye. They came to seek Jesus. And the angel said, he is not here. Verse 6, he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. They were seeking to come to the grave. Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You ever play hide and go? Hide and go. Yeah, what are you trying to? You're trying to find something. And whether it be lost keys or a lost phone or whatever, but God says, I want you to seek first the kingdom of God. Malachi 2:15, seek for a godly seed. Are you, and he's talking about the home and the wife and the husband. Are you seeking a godly home? Are you seeking a home that is God-fearing? Or is everything about play and party and social media and video games? Is that what the home's about? Or is it about a family, a mom and a dad and children, or whatever the case might be? Is it where you're establishing a home? Maybe a mom's not in the home or dad's not in the home, but you still can have a family. Seek to have a godly home. And so we find that since we've been risen with Christ, we seek. And then thirdly, set. Set your affection on things above. He already used that word above in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, above, above. That word set is a real interesting word. You'll immediately think of something in your own life when the word set means to gorge yourself. We think of food, don't we? Ice cream. Oh my. I mean ice cream with caramel or butterscotch fudge on top. Is that what you call it, fudge? No, that's chocolate. Yeah, fudge. Ooh. And walnuts, Brother Carl. Walnuts, oh yes. And whipped cream. Now that sounded pretty good right now, isn't it? Do you ever get a sweet tooth? I don't really don't have much of a sweet tooth, but once in a while, it gets out of control. Right now, before lunch, you know what sounds good right now, and I won't have it today? I'm talking about a steak about that thick. I'm talking about where the juice is still, not bloody red, but just the juice. Oh man. And then you put 15 pounds of sea salt on it, you know. They say that's healthy. I'm going to stop this message about 2 minutes. So I'm getting out of here. And then you have some vegetables with it. Not just one. I mean, you get corn, mashed potatoes, or a baked potato. Baked potato would be good. 15 pounds of butter again. And some sour cream, chives. But then more than one vegetable or two, and some beans and some broccoli and some, you know, all the good stuff. Spinach, asparagus, a big old roll, 5 pounds of butter on that. This is sounding good. No, not rice. Rice. This guy's always had problems. But he's in therapy right now. He'll make it. He'll make it. You know, all of us probably once in a while could easily gorge ourselves. But that's what God wants me to do. When I set, look what he says, your affections on things above. Not on things of this earth, not steak. Those are all good things. You can't gorge yourself with prestige and position and portfolio and money. Those are all things that are down here. And everything that's down here is going to burn up. If I had money, boy, I'd buy a different car every 6 months. I love cars. I just love cars. I enjoy cars. I enjoy looking at cars. The 50s and 60s especially. I was up in Napa preaching several years ago after that big fire went through, and the pastor took me through the neighborhood where the houses were very expensive houses. And you saw all burned up down, all the way down, where all the houses lying there, big mansions of houses. And you see a old Porsche there. Or you see a restored Corvette there. All no tires. It just burned up to a crisp. God says that's what he's going to do to planet Earth one day. That's why we lay not up for ourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal and destroy, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. God says, I want you to set your affection on things above. God wants us to think about heaven every day. God wants us to think of that entrance. You know, I read a book many years ago, and I never knew really all that the preacher was saying until you get a little bit older in life. He was a godly, godly preacher. I forget the name, but I was reading in a book, and he'd been dead now probably for 50, 60, 70 years. But he said, I've served God with my life. And he was a big name, godly preacher. But he says, the closer I get, the more I reflect on my life and how unworthy I am to enter. And he said these words, Brother Remus, he said, it makes me want to, I'll never forget reading it, makes me want to crawl into heaven unnoticed. And though I've tried to serve God, that's exactly how I feel with my life. There could have been so much more that I've done with my life for God. But Jack Treber gets in the way at times. Our self gets in the way. And please, I'm not saying never have vacations with your family. Certainly do that. Take days off with your family. Play ball with your family. But if we're not careful, we set our affection on things down here. I read an article this week about the Z generation. And I don't know about all the Z's and X. My wife, she's got it down detailed. And the characteristics of every generation. But the Z generation is age 12 to 27. It's, oh, I'm 28. I didn't make that. Well, you could be 28 too. That's just a general age group. They're saying they're discovering that that generation from 12 to 27 or 30 have no desire for work. They have no desire. They have absolutely no desire for responsibility. I don't want responsibility. They have no desire for work and responsibility for leadership. They have really no desire for career. And after now almost 30 years of the college, and we're producing, I saw in the last few weeks I've traveled across this country, different. I see our graduates out there serving, and now they're some of those boys have gray hair or bald heads, and some of those ladies have gotten a little bit older looking, and they have their children or they have the grown children by them, you know, 30 years later almost. It's an amazing thing how many are faithful, dedicated, serving God. But it's amazing we get college students, and I didn't know when I was a freshman, sophomore, junior what God wanted me to do, but I did know that God wanted me to serve him. I'm just shocked how many people go to college and have no direction. Yeah. No work ethic. I am ashamed to tell you, I talked to our students about this, and I never thought of it, because we get hired on at every company. We used to have job fairs because students would come here. And the companies realize they'll show up every day. They won't call in sick. They'll be here. They'll work, and they can pass the drug test. And it finally came, and I could name the names of all the computer companies around. They would say, we don't need to, you just tell us who to hire, we'll hire them. Recently, we had one employer say, it used to be that way, but I can't hire all Golden State kids right now. They're careless. I came to our students, I said, that's not our heritage around here. And by the way, we've got the best college in America.
Amen.
And the best kids.
Yep.
And right now, we have some freshmen in here, but sophomores, juniors, and seniors are out serving God in Sunday school, Sunday morning. They're preaching, they're running vehicles, they're singing in the choir, they're doing all these things in the C ministry right now. They're amazing. They'll be a large part of helping us with the 100,000 door campaign this week. They're amazing. But we are inheriting a generation that do not know the eight parts of speech, have never written a paper, have never studied, have never had reading comprehension, read a book and then can't tell you what any of it's about. We are living in an age where it's all about social media. One of our good members, he moved away from here and retired several years ago at age 44. And he said, Pastor, the wave of the future. And I was in their state and I was preaching and he picked me up at the airport. He said, the wave of the future is video games. That was several years ago. I said, what parents will allow kids just live on video games? He said, I'm not talking about children. I said, what are you talking about? He said, adults. I said, wait a minute, you're trying to tell me that adults are going to be all enamored with playing video games? That's the generation we're writing for. I said, I don't believe it. Well, I was wrong. I don't know. And it's not wrong. You're not a bad Christian if you know this. I probably should know this. I know nothing about Marvel. I don't know about who those cartoon are. I don't know what it is. But I tell you what, every adult, my hero is, I don't even know the names. And I'm not a better Christian than you. I'm not saying that. I don't know about all this stuff. I don't know how. I can't wrap my head around how adults can get so wrapped up in cartoons or space, whatever it is. I don't know, whatever it is. And I thank God for the fun you can have. But life is not about what can I do today for play. Set your affection on things above. Live to make it count forever. I know I'm part of a generation. I used to think I was kind of hip because I wasn't acting like my dad. You know what we're missing, Brother Tony? We're missing farms. You got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to milk the chickens. That's what you did. Chickens? Farmer Hannah? It's not chickens, right? You don't milk chickens. You milk the cows. But if you milk them at 4 o'clock in the morning, do you have to milk them later in the day? One more time. What time? 4 o'clock at night. Because their biological clock says, whatever time you did 12 hours later, I'm going to do this again. And they're going to eat green grass and produce white milk. Explain that one to me. I've never figured that one out. And some produce chocolate milk. That is really great. That's wonderful. See, but, and you know, I really don't like it when, well, back in my day, no, so let me take you back in my dad's day, it was the farm. And you got up, twice. You got up in the morning and then at night, and you did your chores, and you gathered eggs from the chickens. Eggs in the morning, is that when they come, Aunt Hannah? All right, okay. I know nothing about the farm. My dad did. But there's still a connection with that generation from the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s that put a desire in our hearts to do something. I'm not mad at teenagers and young people and young adults. I just know that a man that doesn't work can never be satisfied in life. God created us for work. There's fulfillment in work. There's joy in work. But when you work, don't set your affection on how can I get more? How can I get 35 cars restored and sit there? If you have 35 cars and you're listening, give me one. And so since you're risen, seek those things and set your affection on things above. And today I want just simply, as we look at the testimony of a true Christian, will you take inventory and will I take inventory of my sense? Because all this happened, am I seeking the kingdom of God? Am I seeking God with all my heart? And I'd have to say, it's probably weak compared to what it should be. So I'm not looking down on you. And am I setting things, is everything about above? And in my life, you deserve that. As a pastor, you probably don't have it. Because sometimes, and I'm not saying you can't have enjoyment in life. But sometimes we look at the end of the day, my attention's been here instead of here looking unto Jesus. I want to have prayer, but before we do, and there's no way I want to try to beat you up as your Christian life. Some of you have little babies and you're taking these baby steps. God bless you. I'll be preaching to a group of preachers this week. I'm just going to ask them if, and this sounds terrible because it should do more, will they pray out loud for 15 minutes a day? And next month, will they add another 5 minutes to it? And the next another, that we can get praying out loud to God for an hour a day. I'm afraid that many of God's men don't do that. So I'm not here to judge them. And I'm not here to judge you. But I needed these words today. And you deserve me to lift those words.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.